Journalists are among those with serious concerns about the government's proposed anti-espionage laws. And one person who knows firsthand what can happen when press freedoms are pushed aside is Peter Grester. Peter Grester spent 400 days in an Egyptian prison while he was working for Al Jazeera Network. He's these days UNESCO Chair of Journalism at the University of Queensland School of Communication and Arts. Peter Grester, welcome back to RM Breakfast.
Good to be here, Fran.
Do you have concerns about these new foreign interference laws? Have you had a good look at them?
Absolutely. I think that they are a gross overreach. I understand and completely accept the need to introduce new laws to deal with some of the more modern threats that we're facing. I don't think anyone who's been making submissions to the committee has been seriously challenging that idea. But the laws as they're drafted are just so vague and so broad that it makes it, it makes it incredibly difficult for anybody, Commonwealth civil servant, to blow the whistle without falling foul of these kinds of laws. And it's not even that. It's much broader than that. I mean, we're seeing there anybody who deals with information that's unauthorized runs a risk of being branded as a criminal. And that term deals with is so broad that if you simply receive an envelope and open it up, even if you don't know what's inside, you discover a piece of paper from a civil servant with some information, you all automatically become in breach of the law. And I think those sorts of provisions make it incredibly difficult, incredibly dangerous for both journalists and civil servants who are doing their duty and blowing the whistle on things that they might see and believe genuinely need to be exposed.
So, for instance, if you received two filing cabinets full of cabinet documents, you could be very easily in breach of this clause which says deals with.
It certainly seems that way. And if you then went to your editor and said, listen, I've got these documents, what are we supposed to do with this? The editor then becomes in breach of the law. If you go to a lawyer and say, listen, what's your view on this? The lawyer is technically in breach of the law. Even if you decide never to publish, the law as it's drafted at the moment means that you are guilty of a criminal offence. And that, as I said, makes it incredibly difficult for journalists to do what, frankly, is our democratic duty, and that's hold governments to account.
Now, the government will say, and does say, that the journalist's defence of fair and accurate reporting in the public interest would apply. Why isn't that enough protection?
Because the definition of public interest, there are two problems. The definition of the public of in the public interest is so vague that it's incredibly difficult to actually understand what that means as far as the law is concerned. But also, the burden of proof rests with the journalist. It's up to the journalist to prove that these stories are in the public interest. And are fair and accurate, exactly. And I think that's a serious problem in the law. And the issue is, Fran, that what we're doing is using national security as a way of effectively shutting down communications. We're shutting down the idea of open government. What we ought to be doing is approaching it from the opposite direction and saying, okay, what is it that we need to protect in the national interest? What is it, the kind of material that we need to keep secret to make sure that we're not exposing ourselves to foreign attacks? This goes far wider than that. If you simply reveal information that, quote, is likely to harm or prejudice relations between the Commonwealth and a state or territory, then you're violating the law. That's ridiculous.
Peter, what is the government trying to protect? We understand that there's the foreign donations law, and this is about foreign interference. And ASIO officials yesterday told this committee, the same committee that's been hearing from media organisations, journalists, the Catholic Church, all the rest of it, and Stephanie's package outlined, said that the level of foreign interference in Australia at the moment is higher than it was during the Cold War. So the government says, you know, this law needs to balance the need to guard against that threat with the need to protect free speech. Why does putting in a law that says if you deal with national security information that could be harmful to the national interest, how does that help guard against the foreign interference in Australia? What's the connection there? What's the nexus?
Fran, you're going to have to put that one to the government. I don't really understand, and I think it's that vague connection that really underlines the problems with this legislation.
I suppose if you think about what's been going on in the US over the last year, the experience of the Democrats and others showing how easily data can be hacked or compromised potentially by a foreign adversary, does that get us close to this notion that, you know, media organisations need to be more careful with what they do with information and how they publish information?
Look, that's fine. And I think, and again, as I said, no one's questioning the fact that we need to update our legislation. This is designed to replace the Crimes Act, Section 70 of the Crimes Act, which was introduced in 1914 at the beginning of the First World War. So clearly we've got to do something to address the problems that we're facing in the digital world. But what we're doing is undermining the really important role, the fundamental role that the media plays in a functioning democracy. It's not always necessarily particularly edifying, it's not always pretty, but it works. It's worked to keep Australia one of the most peaceful, safest, and prosperous places on the planet. And if we, in the process of trying to make us safer, we undermine that very system that's worked so well, then I think we need to look again at what it is that we're trying to do here.
The Attorney General Christian Porter described reaction to this bill as sensationalist. You know, there have been cries of creeping Stalinism from some. Media organisations and the media and the journalist union have described this as criminalising journalism. Is that overstating it? Do we all need to be careful that we get the balance right here? Or is it fair enough to point out, I mean, does this criminalise journalism?
Look, I'm not about to suggest that Australia is on the path to becoming another Turkey or Egypt anytime soon. Mm. But the legislation that I'm seeing here looks disturbingly similar to the kinds of laws that I saw being introduced in places like Ethiopia, in places like Turkey and Egypt, where the government used national security as a way of, or redefined national security so broadly that it encompassed all sorts of legitimate journalism and human rights workers. That's what concerns me here. I think using the terms creeping Stalinism is perhaps being a little bit sensationalist, because we've got to recognise what it is that's driving the legislation in the first place. But we also need to understand what the law says. And we need to recognise that even if politicians insist that it'll never be used in that way, if the law says that simply by opening up an envelope you're breaking the law, chances are at some point in the future someone will interpret it in that way, and that's what we need to be very careful about.
It's 19 past eight. Our guest is Peter Grester, UNESCO Chair of Journalism at the University of Queensland, a longtime reporter who was jailed, spent 400 days in an Egyptian prison working for Al Jazeera. Peter, we come to you because of your very personal experience with laws like this. You said, you know, you're not suggesting that the laws are anything close to what's in place in a country like Turkey or Egypt. But given your experience, when you see laws like this being discussed in our parliament, what goes through your head?
Oh, I get incredibly worried. Obviously what we see is this tension between a journalist's desire to get their hands on everything and the government's instinctive desire to close everything down. At the moment, the way that our democracy, the way that a functioning democracy works, is striking that right balance between the public's right to know and the government's need for secrecy. And when you shift the slider too far in favour of the government, what you end up with is a form of authoritarianism. Now, again, I want to underline, I understand why we need to protect our country from foreign interference, but I worry enormously that what we're doing is undermining the very fundamentals of the system that's been so effective. And again, you mentioned my experience. I have seen it not just in Egypt and experienced it not just in Egypt, but in all sorts of authoritarian regimes around the world. This doesn't take us to that necessarily to that extent, but it pushes Australia in that direction. And I can't help but feel really anxious when I see that.
Peter Grester, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Peter Grester is the UNESCO Chair of Journalism at the University of Queensland, and a former journalist who was jailed in Egypt working for Al Jazeera. We should say, in the interest of transparency, the ABC is one of the media companies which has joined the joint media submission to the parliamentary inquiry, raising concerns about these laws. It's also worth noting that the Attorney General has made it clear that if the Joint Parliamentary Committee recommends changes, the government is prepared to consider them.